very long. You've heard me preach on them before. But you know, the Bible, in the Bible, Paul tells pastors that one of their responsibilities is to bring people into remembrance of things. That is to remind them of things. Things they already know, but things they need to be reminded of. He instructed young Pastor Timothy in the New Testament to do that. Bring them into remembrance about this and about that. That is, they already know it, but remind them of it. And this morning, I want to use two verses just to remind you of something. The first verse is Proverbs 11:30, and it says this, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And I want you to focus your attention on that thought. He that winneth souls is wise. And the other one is a familiar passage. It's the Great Commission that Jesus has given us in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And with those two verses in mind, let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching time. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for these two passages of Scripture. Speak to our hearts this morning. Challenge us. Help us to take what we learn and put it into practice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, people these days have excuses for everything. And this includes people who attend church, such as they have excuses why they don't attend church regularly. They have excuses why they don't tithe as the Bible commands. They have excuses why they don't read their Bible daily. They have excuses why they're not more active in church ministry. They have excuses why they don't bring their family and friends to church with them. But the biggest excuses that you hear among Christians have to do with why they do not make any effort to win anyone to Christ. And honestly, to hear some Christians talk about why they don't make any effort to win anyone to Christ, you'd think that there are no more sinners out in the world that need to be saved, you know? But the truth is, the world is full of sinners. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus said this. He said, "The harvest truly is great." That is, there are lost sinners everywhere. But the real problem is this. He continues in that verse and he goes on and he says, "But the laborers are few." The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And before I get into the heart of the sermon, I would like to point out two of the things that keep the church from fulfilling this command that has been given to us. One thing is dead church services. You know, when sinners visit the church, what do they see and feel? The truth is, we will see sinners coming to Christ when Christians in the church sing like they know what they're singing about and that they are glad about it. It's a real joy to enter a church when the singing is so exciting it looks like it may take seat belts to hold the people in their seats. You know, we've got to be willing to lay aside dead formalism. You know, I'll be honest with you, I've heard more excitement in a funeral service than in some churches. I really have. And folks, we got to worship from our hearts if we want to see souls come to the Lord for salvation in our churches. I'm talking about people who are not just in a worship service, but they are engaged in the worship of the Lord. It kind of reminds me of the story of the woman walking down the street in Paris, dressed in silks and satins. And as she walked along, she reached into her purse to get a very expensive ring. And as she was ready to place it on her finger, she dropped it. And it fell into some slime and filth on the street. Well, what she did was she took her very elegant and expensive umbrella that she was carrying, and she raked it through the slime trying to find her ring. But after doing that over and over, she realized she was not going to find her very expensive ring that way. And everybody who was watching was shocked when they saw her on her knees in her silks and satins with her sleeves rolled up and with her clean manicured hands in the slime as she searched for her ring. And sure enough, when she got her hands into the slime, she found her ring. And what I'm getting at is this. We may have to do the same thing spiritually. If we're going to reach sinners in the slime of sin, we have to roll our dead formalistic church services out of the way so that the Holy Spirit can reach them. A dead service does nothing for reaching the lost. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Listen, it grieves the heart of God when people who claim to know him come to church and they act like they're having a gallbladder attack, you know, or they you look in their faces and you look at them and you'd think they were baptized in dill pickle juice, you know, just a sour look. They've been eating lemons for breakfast, you know. God's not pleased with that. God certainly must be grieved when he sees how churches are so dead and so dead that the Spirit of God is not allowed to work and be in control. It's amazing, you know, how people can go to a ball game and get so excited that they can't be still, they can't shut up, and they want to sit in the front seat. But then they go to church and they're totally the opposite as they go into the house of God. No zeal, no excitement, no enthusiasm for the things of the Lord. It's no wonder that many churches today are not winning any souls to the Lord. You see, Christians must be praying for the services. They must be looking forward to the services. They need to be excited about the Lord, and they need to come to church expecting God to do something special. Now, the second reason that we're not winning souls to Christ is because of the worthless excuses. The people of God's church come up with no end of excuses as to why they cannot do what God has commanded them to do. But listen, if we could not do it, God would not have commanded us to do it. But in John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus challenges us this way. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. You see, the Lord tried constantly to get across to the disciples the need for them to open their eyes and see that the harvest was ready to be reaped. And evidently, they, like us, were full of excuses. I read to you a second ago the last part of John 4:35, where Jesus said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. But just before that, he prefaces that by saying this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. That is, the point is, if we're going to win people to Christ, we need to be busy about it now. We cannot wait any longer if we're going to do that. I don't know about you, but I'm watching what's going on in this world. I'm watching all the wickedness going on in the world. I'm seeing nations turning against Israel. I'm seeing all kinds of things going on. I believe Jesus is coming soon, probably sooner than we expect. We got to be busy. This is the time. This is when we need to be out there telling about Jesus. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't put it off any longer. Years ago, before I came to Pasco, I was on the board of directors for a mission board called Word for the World Baptist Ministries. And it's a mission board out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. We actually support, one of our missionaries is with that mission board, Sean Creamer, our missionary in Puerto Rico. But I was on the board at Word for the World, and every January we would get together and we'd have this big meeting where we would get to meet all the new missionaries, all those that applied to be missionaries with Word for the World. And there was this one young man who was applying to the mission board to be a missionary in a foreign country. And I could tell the board members were all excited about talking to this young man. But once they interviewed him, he was rejected by the mission board. Well, he was shocked by that. And later on, he took me aside. I don't know why he picked me out of all the members of the mission, of the board of directors. But he picked me and he asked me, can you tell me why I was rejected by the missionary board? And I could tell he was a very sincere young man. So I told him, I said, sure, I can tell you. I said, do you remember when you told us how excited you were that you were going to the mission field? And the young man said, yes. And I said, do you remember that one of the board members asked you, when was the last time you won a soul to Christ? And you told us that you had never won a soul to Christ yet. And we asked you why, as a Christian, you have never won a soul to Christ. And you gave us an excuse. You said that you've been busy the last 5 to 6 years preparing in seminary to go to the mission field. I said, well, we as a mission board decided that that you have neglected the most important thing to be a missionary. You've not trained yourself to be a soul winner. And if you won't even try and win souls here, what would lead us to believe as a mission board that you're going to try and win souls in some foreign country if you won't even do it here? Now, I did encourage the young man. I told him, you haven't been rejected permanently. And we recommended that he get involved in a local church, get involved in their soul winning program, and get some experience at leading people to Christ. That's what we recommended. And then come back at another time and we will reconsider your application. But at that point, he was just not missionary material because he had no passion, no concern about reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's important that we be doing it now. Let's not wait, because who knows how much longer we have. Now, that was all the introduction. That was free of charge this morning. That was just the introduction. And what I want to do this morning, and I'm just going to take a few minutes at this, I want to look at three of the excuses that a lot of Christians use for not even trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three excuses. The first one is that we hear so often is, I don't have the opportunity to witness to anyone. And what that person should be saying is, I don't recognize opportunity when I see it. Because every day we all have opportunities to witness for the Lord. But for some reason, some Christians cannot seem to see opportunity when it comes up and hits them right in the face. They just can't seem to see it. They remind us of the old story of the two shoe salesmen who went to Africa to sell shoes. One got there and immediately sent a message back to the home office. Waste of time. These people don't even wear shoes. But the other salesman, seeing the opportunity, sent the message back to the home office and said, send lots of shoes. Nobody here even has any yet. So it's a different perspective. One guy was looking at the opportunities. Well, every day Christians are surrounded by a world of sinners who need Christ. And we should be excited about it and take advantage of all the prospects that we have of winning people to Christ. You know, Jesus likened soul winning to fishing for men. In Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Can you imagine a fisherman going to a lake that's so full of fish that they're bumping into each other. Now, do you think that fisherman would be depressed about that? Of course not. He would be thrilled at the prospect of catching some of those fish. Well, in this day and age that we live in, when the population is larger than it has ever been, we cannot honestly say, I don't have a chance to witness to anybody. All we need to do is recognize the many opportunities to witness that we have each day, and then do it. Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And over in the book of James, James 1:22, there's a verse that says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Go and do. You know, if you go into the average Christian bookstore, there's a whole display of books on soul winning and personal evangelism and things like that. But you don't need those books. Because the Bible plan is so simple. It's this. Go, do. Go, do. So simple that even a little baby could understand it, right? Gaga, goo, goo, go, do. I mean, it's that simple. It's not difficult to comprehend. We've just got to remember that everyone you come into contact with each day this week will be an opportunity to share the gospel. You can't use the excuse any longer that you don't have any opportunities, because we could witness to the paper boy, the mailman, the service station man, the bank teller, the grocery store cashier, and the list could go on and on and on. Years ago, there was a baseball team in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I watched them play many years ago. I don't even know if they might still be playing. I don't know, but because I haven't been down there in many, many years. But a preacher friend of mine, I was preaching down there, and he took me to the ball game in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And this team was known for the large attendance they always had at their home games, even though this team generally finished last in the Carolina League. Well, one day somebody asked the manager how it was that they had such good attendance since they had such a poor winning record. And he explained the success by stating that he designed a system that would involve having all the local barbers sign a pledge, and in exchange for which they would get to go into the ballpark for 50 cents instead of the usual price. And what the barbers pledged to do was they pledged to mention the ball team at least 3 times a day to their customers in the barber shop. And that thing worked and got lots of people coming in. Now, if a barber could talk about baseball 3 times a day, surely God's people could mention Christ to a lost world at least 3 times a day. And I believe that if we did, we would see phenomenal growth in God's work. For example, let's say the average church with about 100 people, kind of like our church. Let's say an average church like ours, had all the members invite someone to church 3 times a day. Did you know that by the end of the week, that church would have invited 2,100 people to come to church to hear the gospel? Now, are they all going to come? No, we understand that. But I can guarantee you that some would. If we just had Christians who could recognize the many opportunities they come in contact with that God gives them to witness every day of their lives. I believe churches could reach millions more lost people for the Lord than they are now. So I say, let's try it. You know, why can't we do that? Let's make a commitment of ourselves to the Lord. Not a commitment to the pastor, not a commitment to the church, but let's make a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk to 3 people a day about Christ, or I'm going to at least invite 3 people a day to come to church. Let's do that. And let's see what God will do in response to that. I think we would be totally amazed. Now, another excuse that's often used today is people are too hard to be reached for Christ. But let me tell you this. Just as today's Christians are like Christians of other generations, so are today's sinners like sinners of other generations. In Ephesians 2:1, it tells us that all lost sinners are dead in sin. And there's no such thing as degrees of being dead, right? You can't be partially dead. You're either dead or you're alive. And sinners today are no more dead in sin than sinners of the past. Now, I do from time to time hear some say that this generation has heard the gospel so many times they've become gospel hardened. And that may be true of some folks, but the majority out there is not gospel hardened. They're lost because, like the Bible says, no man cares for their soul. They see people who claim the name of Christ, who are unconcerned as to whether or not others are saved. They cannot see Christ in the lives of those who profess to believe. You see, this generation is no harder than any generation. But unfortunately, this generation has Christians talking to them about sports and politics and hobbies and job and TV shows, but this generation is sadly lacking when it comes to Christians talking to them about how they can be saved. That's the reality of the matter. Sinners are too hard to reach for the Lord. That's an excuse that we can't use. That just doesn't hold any water. God will not accept it. Because it's not true. And then let me give you the last one here and we'll be done. A very popular excuse, I don't know how. I don't know how. This seems to be one of the most popular excuses these days. People feel, Christians feel inadequate to speak to others about Christ. If you know a little bit about church history, you're probably familiar with the name D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist from back in the 1800s, and he did amazing things for the Lord in reaching people for Christ in his lifetime. But if there was ever a man who should have felt inadequate to preach the gospel, it was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had no formal education whatsoever. Now, he did know how to read. He'd been taught to read, but he had no formal education other than that. But I'll tell you what, he loved the Bible, and he loved people, and he loved to tell others about Christ. Well, one day after he had preached, this young, very well-educated man came up to him and told him that he had made many mistakes in grammar in his message. And Moody's response was this. He said, "Young man, I'm doing the best I can with what little grammar I know, and I'm using that little bit of grammar for the Lord." He said, "What are you using for the Lord to do with your good grammar? What are you doing for the Lord with the good grammar that you have?" See, no matter how inadequate you may feel today, God can touch your life like he did D.L. Moody and make you into a soul winner for Christ. How does that happen? Well, I recommend first that you pray that God would give you a passion and a love for lost souls. And then pray that God would give you courage and boldness to open your mouth and speak up for the Lord. And pray that the Lord would fill your mouth with the things to say. That's what Moses' problem was. Remember, God kept saying, "I want you to go, I want you to go." Moses said, "I'm not eloquent of speech. You know, I don't speak well. What am I going to do?" And God said, "I'll be with your mouth. I'll be with your mouth. He'll do the same for us, pray, that God will fill our mouth with the right things. But then also you can do things to try and help yourself to grow in this area of Christian service. People say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, maybe you could do something like, let me see, where are they? Which pocket? I always carry them with me. Don't leave home without it. I know they say that, what about, is it American Express? Don't leave home without a gospel tract if you're a Christian. Well, this is a simple one. This is 100% absolutely sure. Very small, very tiny. But why can't you take and just kind of read it and memorize the things that are in here? Memorize this little tract. And then use these verses to talk to somebody about the Lord. That's pretty simple, right? You could do that. Or you could just take and share your testimony with others about what the Lord has done for you. You know what your testimony is? Your testimony is only three things. You tell people what your life was like before you were saved. You tell them how you got saved. And you tell them what your life is like since you got saved. That's basically your testimony, you know. And so you can tell people your testimony. Soul winning doesn't have to be formal, you know. You can go around and just tell people about how much Jesus means to you. Or you, if you're a really timid person, give out gospel tracts to people. Or leave them where people will find them, you know. I used to love to leave gospel tracts at payphones. Try and find a payphone anymore to leave a gospel tract. No. But there's plenty of places you can leave them. And if you're even nervous about that, then just simply invite them to church and let me tell them. I'll be glad to tell them, you know. But do something, you know. Do something to reach people. Stop making excuses. We've looked at three of the most used excuses as to why people are not winning souls for the Lord. I do not have the opportunity to witness to anyone. People are too hard today to be reached for Christ, or I don't know how. But you know what? All of those excuses really hold no water. So folks, just give them up. Get rid of those excuses and get busy for Jesus. Get out of here and go tell your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, your acquaintances. Tell them what? Tell them that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what does the Bible say about Christians who do that? Well, I mentioned it in the very first verse, Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. You want to be considered wise in the eyes of God? It's really simple. Tell somebody about Jesus. It is the wisest thing that you could ever do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and the challenge to our hearts to take our